Senior lecturer in public health at UTS. John, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, looking at these particular products, what are some of the health codes and beauty product standards we actually have here in Australia that these products would be breaking?
Right. Well, one thing, most products with in any cosmetic sense have to be approved and registered with a government scheme like NICNAS for cosmetics that don't make therapeutic claims, or obviously if they're being used medicinally, which things like Botox injections and dermal fillers and some of the things that have been suggested as being, they would require approval by the TGA, the Therapeutics Goods Administration, as actual.
And how do our health codes actually differ from some of these countries where these products are originating, these other products are originating, such as China and Japan?
You know, a lot of other countries do regulate the products well. The real issue is that a lot of imported products aren't actually approved products anywhere. So they're sort of counterfeit medicines. they're imported from wholesalers that may make the other products, but haven't gone through that regulatory procedure. But even then, the TGA, probably along with Canada, is recognised as one of the best regulators in the world in terms of medicinal goods. So, you know, any regulation in any country probably isn't going to be up at the same level.
I think there is a bit of an assumption that cosmetic procedures are low risk. Certainly they seem to have become more and more commonplace in our society, and there's an assumption that because of this commonplace nature of them, they are low risk. Yet what are some of the potential risks we see from undergoing these treatments, particularly with completely unqualified technicians?
Well, I think what you were saying is correct. There's sort of this normalization of them as non-medical procedures, when really a lot of cosmetic procedures are basically surgical procedures. They're just not perceived that way. So all the risks of surgery that you have, infection, reaction to medicines if they're, you know, put in the wrong place. So a lot of cosmetic products are actually quite safe if they're used in one part of the body, but, you know, very, very unsafe if they're used in another part. Essentially, people should be going into these procedures with the same sort of caution that they'd go into any surgical procedure.
And yet, looking at the qualifications of these kind of technicians, what kind of qualifications are required under law here in Australia that some of these illegal technicians are actually breaking? I mean, how high is the bar to begin with?
Well, look, you are allowed to be an unregistered practitioner in Australia, so you are allowed to be a practitioner of any sort. In Australia, so New South Wales, they have the healthcare code for unregistered practitioners, and if you breach that code, that's when you are acting illegally. So that's not really based on qualifications, but every practitioner is required to act within the scope of their training. Obviously, if you're not qualified in surgery, you shouldn't be performing surgery. And if you don't have malpractice insurance for whatever service that you're actually providing, you're actually breaking the law as well. So even though you don't need qualifications to enter and open your own business in the health space, you are actually acting illegally if you're not qualified in that particular service you're providing.
Now, the government is obviously taking these ones seriously. As we mentioned, there's been a series of raids by the New South Wales Health Department. The New South Wales Health Minister, Brad Hazzard, has come out and said that some of the products they've used were not registered for use in Australia, could be contaminated. Obviously, there are these regulations in place, so these actions that are being undertaken are already criminal actions. Does this sort of look like an anticipation of a turnaround? Are we going to be dealing more seriously with these products, with these practitioners, before people get hurt, or is it sort of going to be business as usual?
Well, really, you know, you hit the nail on the head. The laws already exist. The regulations already exist. The real problem has been with enforcement. So, you know, there are two issues on that. I think a lot of people don't realise that, you know, beauty and cosmetic practitioners do fall under the health practitioner law. So if someone does notice something dodgy that's going on, they can actually be put in as a complaint to the Healthcare Complaints Commission. But also, you know, in the time of austerity and budget cuts, one of the first things to usually go are the budgets for regulatory agencies. And really, the regulators need to be getting a lot more support than they are, because there needs to be a lot more proactive investigation of these sorts of issues, rather than actually waiting for something bad to happen and then take action.
Well, John, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
No problem. Thanks, John.
That was John Wardle, Senior Lecturer in Public Health at the University of Technology, Sydney, speaking to us about the use of illegal cosmetic procedures here in Australia. And obviously the difficulties, you know, because they are illegal, these things are illegal, but the enforcement and the regulation of these products and procedures, more support needed for these regulatory bodies. You are on the daily program. I should mention too, we might try and stick up a little bit more info. As John was mentioning there, you know, you can direct these complaints. If you see something dodgy going on, you can direct these complaints to the New South Wales Health Department, to these kind of regulatory bodies, and hopefully they will follow up with those ones. We'll try and stick up some more info at 2SER.com on the podcast of that particular interview.